Hey, got a good joke for you. What's the best part of sex with a transvestite? Reaching around and pretending it went all the way through. Bye.
You know, I don't want to be all judgmental, you know, but this is sick. It's sick and wrong.
Listen, living. Listening to Synchronon. Sick and Wrong. Yes, you're listening to Synchronon.
The Sick and Wrong, the world source for antisocial commentary.
God, what a bunch of scumbags.
Good evening. Welcome to Sick and Wrong, the world source for antisocial commentary. I'm your host, D. Simon.
I'm Harrison.
Harrison, where you been all day? You know, you told me you had all this stuff going on. We're supposed to do the show at 5. Have you been at the Angry Birds movie and just not telling me? Like,
yes.
Did you take a bunch of PCP and go see Angry Birds?
You know my continual campaign against these pigs, you know? I can't rest.
These pigs, that's you blame your station in life because of the fucking pigs from Angry Birds.
No, that is not, in fact, the case. I've been, you know, teetering on the ephemeral abyss where men become things and things in turn men.
Okay, all right. Is this are these code words for the vintage postcard show that you're going to? Is this like another way of saying I was at a vintage postcard show?
It's quite something. You know?
Well, what is that?
It's a veritable who's who of softly muttering mole people clutching their manifestos. As they sell you like old racist postcards and pictures of like, you know, pinheads and freaks and whatever.
Is this like an annual thing?
I went once before.
Like
I don't know.
Last year?
Yeah.
And it's in, you said it was in like a Glendale's Community College or something?
Once a fortnight upon the winter solstice. Yeah, it's in Glendale. It's great. I mean, it's just a bunch of weirdos selling old fucking postcards and shit.
So it's almost like, so are you a postcard collector?
No.
Like a stamp collector?
No, I'm just a weird guy.
And you just want to go
mingle
with other weirdos.
You know, there's like, they're old, like weird 19th century postcards that you would send like an emoji or something. Like, I'm sad I can't come out today. And you'd send this postcard that has like a sad little girl on it.
So this is way before texting.
Yes.
That's what you do. So the postcard is supposed to convey the same emotion as that little thumbs up little hand thing or the frowning smiley face.
Like
thing.
I have one, it's like a guy like, you know, embracing a woman and it says, you didn't ask, just take it.
That sounds kind of rapey.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's a prime example of a vintage postcard, rape culture inherent in Victorian society today.
So did you pick up any postcards?
Yes.
You did? All right.
I got Lionel the Lion Face Boy. I got a photo of Lionel the Lion Face Boy, a freak from the freak show from the
30s. Oh, so they have like Todd Browning. I'll have to check this out.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Nobody listens to me. Nobody wants to go.
None of your friends wanted to go to this.
Well, there were two that had agreed, but by the time, you know, by the time I contacted them, one of them lost his phone, and then the other one's like, she didn't get back to me till 5, you know, so it's a whole thing.
I was worried because I was like, you know, I haven't heard from Harrison all day. And then I thought, like, the first thing that came to mind is like, I bet you he's loitering around the parking lot of the Hollywood Bowl trying to pick up chicks that are going to the Cure show.
Is that tonight?
It's tonight. There's the Cure show at the Hollywood Bowl. You know, that's probably going to be the epicenter of goth culture, LA goth culture. All the goths are going to, like, it's like going to Mecca, pilgrimage to go see Fat Robert Smith.
Yeah, or it's going to be like fucking 50-something moms, you know, who grew up on the Cure in the 80s.
No, I've been following this on Facebook. It's okay. Like every goth chick in LA is like, oh, I can't wait to get to the Cure. You know, have you seen a picture of Robert Smith recently?
Yes.
I remember when in the 90s, quoting Henry Rollins here from his spoken word thing, he said Robert Smith reminded him of a fat, sobbing clown. And if you look at Robert Smith now...
Who said this?
Henry Rollins.
Okay, yeah.
If you look at Robert Smith now, he's like an obese, sobbing clown. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He gained a lot of weight over the years. I couldn't imagine how active he is on stage.
It's easy to throw stones when you're a glass house, you know, that is Henry Rollins. Basically a man, a neck muscle that grew a brain, you know?
That's pretty much. A tattooed neck muscle.
Yeah.
That grew a brain. You know what? Have you ever read his self-aggrandizing column he has in the LA Weekly?
No.
I like Rollins. I wasn't a big fan of Rollins' band. Yeah. I did like his spoken word was entertaining. Ugh. Did you ever go see that?
No, I've heard. Some point in the 90s, you had to hear it somewhere. I don't know. I think they played it in the Duane Reade or the Rite Aid or something. But yeah, I heard it at some point. But it's just like, I don't like heroin because... And then I was in Thailand and they kept trying to sell me children for sex. And I was like, what? You know,
he's done some interesting things. Like I remember a tale he told of being upstaged by Iggy Pop at some festival. It was entertaining. But the thing is with him, he comes across as so preachy and just self-righteous.
Yeah,
and
that's why he's bad. Yeah, that's why he's bad.
The Rollins band, I just couldn't get into.
Yeah.
Even though I would say on many points, I'm like-minded with Rollins. I agree with him on many things, especially his taste in music for the most part.
The only people who don't drink that I trust are recovered alcoholics.
Did he never drink? Was he straight edge forever? Or did he go through? I think he went through a period.
Yeah, and then he's like, I'm not going to.
He met Ian MacKay from Fugazi.
I have to keep it pure, bro.
No, he met Ian MacKay from Fugazi, and he was just like, you can't drink if you hang out with me.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, all right, settle down. I always thought those guys, they just have one beer, you'd be fine.
We all had the fucking blue record when we were goddamn fucking 13, dude. You know? We know. We know your whole deal. Thank you.
All right, hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
Let's say you lost your penis in a horrible car accident, and the only penis that you could get was Henry Rollins' penis. Would you get a transplant of Henry Rollins' penis?
I'd get whatever, you know, whatever's available.
Would you get like, I'm trying to, the guy from Nickelback, Chad Kroeger's penis, you'd take his penis? Or the dude from Limp Bizkit, if that guy's penis is the only penis available?
You don't have to like a man's oof to stitch his penis onto yours.
Yeah, but you're going to have a piece of...
That's a hallmark.
I'm trying to think of the guy. What's the guy's name from Limp Bizkit?
Fred Durst.
Fred Durst.
I always want to say Robert Durst, the murderer.
I get the two mixed up.
Yeah.
I actually wish it was the other way around. Mm. Fred Durst.
You know, I have friends of mine who are lesbians, and they dress like Fred Durst, and they say they have to because there's no... Dating for lesbians is really hard, so you really have to throw it out there that you're a lesbian. Therefore, you have to dress like Fred Durst.
Fred Durst looks like a lesbian.
Yes.
Like, if you see that guy down the street, I would check for breasts, because I'd be like, maybe that's a woman, maybe that's a man. I can't really tell. It's like that androgynous male lesbian.
Yes.
It's kind of what, with the baseball hat, you know, backwards. Still kind of, I've never understood that music. The other day, actually, I was at a show at the Whiskey. It was about a month ago.
Yeah.
But there was a band that opened up for, have you ever heard of Metalachi? The metal mariachi?
No.
They're a novelty, but they're entertaining at least. But the band that opened up, and this is why I hate the Whiskey, it's pay to play. So all the bands that open are bands that have paid to be there. Mm. And so you get like some of the most terrible acts you'll ever see. But this one was from like Altadena, and these guys were just basically Limp Bizkit. Like they had a guy with like a skull mask on the turntables, and then a guy that was like a fat dude with a baseball hat that was like, yo, 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 like in the crowd. And I was thinking, God, you guys are almost like, what, 17 years too late?
Yeah.
Who listens to that music anymore?
I don't know. And how is Kid Rock still successful?
I don't even know.
Fred Durst is like, you know, hiding, selling, you know, vintage postcards in Glendale. But yet Kid Rock can just walk the streets free from pain and free from outrage, you know?
He did that denigration. I don't understand it.
Sweet Home Alabama fucking Werewolves of London thing. Like
travesty. I don't know what that was. Okay, Kid Rock dies in a horrible car accident. Yeah. Donates his penis to science. That's the penis you have to choose from. Fred Durst or Kid Rock? Whose would it be? Or would you just choose to be an amputee?
No, I would choose...
You don't get.
So I'd go with Kid Rock because Kid Rock's more successful.
You know? I don't know if I'd want Kid Rock. Okay, I don't know if I'd want Kid Rock's syphilitic penis.
Okay, that's
attached to my body.
It's a fair point. Well, it wouldn't have even gotten the donor pool, buddy. You know.
Yeah, I guess
true. So the reason I'm talking about penis transplants is because I think within the next probably 10 to 15 years, after they perfected the penis transplant surgery, we're going to be able to get a vanity penis. I think we will be able to choose or possibly grow a new penis that we could have transplanted onto our bodies. It's a thing. So this past week, a man received the first penis transplant ever done in the U.S. Yeah. Did you hear about this guy?
I did hear about this guy. Yes.
A 64-year-old man named Thomas Manning, a bank courier from Halifax, Massachusetts, underwent a 15-hour transplant operation. To transplant a penis from a deceased donor onto his body. He has a corpse penis.
Right. That's they kept it,
I'm sure it was on ice, but it's still a penis of a corpse. Yeah. what if it had like a mind of its own?
We keep the penises on ice. There are many short, terrible horror stories with that premise.
This whole thing too, with the organ coming from a deceased donor. Wouldn't you want to be like, can I pick it out?
Yeah, because I want an animated hentai penis that's all pixelated, you know?
A pixelated penis.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I would want to look and be like, you know, I want a penis bigger than the one that was amputated.
Right.
Like, why not? I mean, if you get to choose one.
And what, you know, and it'd be funny, you know, if you get one that's uncircumcised, being circumcised.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, oh, what's this thing? You know?
Be like, doctor, yeah. Stop it. Don't put it on yet.
It's like the weird water balloon snake. I don't like it.
I wonder if that's like, if they finally, after like years, you know, it takes like a year to go find a penis that would be suitable because it has to match your blood type, your skin tone.
Don't you have to wash the inside of the foreskin if you have foreskin?
Yeah. Smegma.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. I'd be like a doctor that one's uncircumcised.
I can barely deal with my hair, you know? I'd be fucked.
Yeah, women love smegma. That's like a thing that turns the ladies on.
Woo!
But yeah, you know, I'd like to, if I'm going to actually go through a procedure like this, I'd like to be able to choose at least. I don't think this
guy
would give
me a choice.
Why is
there a Yiddish word for something that the Yids will never, ever fucking see?
I don't think smegma's a Yiddish word.
No?
No.
Oh,
it's like a medical term for a cheese-like substance that propagates underneath your foreskin.
Well, that's the most fucking Yiddish-sounding non-Yiddish word I've ever heard.
I think if it was a Yiddish word, it'd be like schmegma.
What do you got, smegma now?
Yeah, schmegma. Right, schmegma down there.
It's a Greek word.
It's a Greek. Where does it come from? We're about to learn something, people.
From the Greek soap. Okay.
Yeah, really, smegma is soap.
Yeah.
It's just a weird word to be like. I mean, why don't you just call it like, you know, dick fuzz or something?
In females, it collects around the clitoris and in the folds of the labia minora.
You know, I've been down there before and I thought I'd
tasted
something.
D, come downstairs and light the labia minora.
So anyway, the transplant happened this past week. The doctor here, Dr. Curtis Centrullo, said, "We're cautiously optimistic.
Right.
It's uncharted waters for us," which would be a little disconcerting for me because I'd be like, okay, I understand you guys haven't done this, but could you have practiced on a pig or a dog or something before you're doing it to me? But hey, you know, what's the worst that can happen? They chop it off.
Yeah.
I mean, you already don't have a dick. So, I mean, you know, what do you have to lose?
It does. Yeah.
If all goes as planned, normal urination should be possible for Mr. Manning within a few weeks and sexual function may occur in a few months. So this is kind of an interesting hypothetical. What would you do if you just had this penis attached? You haven't had a penis for like 5 years. You just got this thing attached. You want to give it a test run. Would you call up a girl that you're good friends with and ask her to help you out with it? Or would you get a hooker?
I'd probably try to get a friend-ish situation, you know?
But that would just be weird.
Yeah, no, it's always weird. A Franken penis is weird. There's no getting around that. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. A hooker has to deal with your penis regardless. If it's a micro penis, a Franken penis.
Well, I have yet to...
An uncircumcised heathen dog penis.
Yeah, I mean, I have yet to purchase a hooker's services, so I don't have a frame of reference for that.
I think I would go to a hooker before I like call up a friend, like a friend with benefits.
So for that really delicate situation, you want some broad looking at her fucking watch the whole
smoking
time?
A menthol?
Yeah.
Did you put it in yet?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't feel anything.
She's talking on the phone. She's like, yeah, I think he's one of them Frankensteins. I don't know.
She's texting her pimp.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, Mr. Manning is cautiously optimistic, although he did say that he's not quite ready to take a look at the transplant.
Hmm.
He said he's not ready to do it. He's psychologically preparing himself, which is completely the opposite of my reaction. Right. I'd be like, I want to see this thing. I mean, if you haven't had a dick for 5 years, would you want to see it?
That must be the worst, because you probably get the phantom limb shit.
Like
the phantom erection, you know?
It's like you're trying to grab it and there's just nothing there.
Yeah. Harry Potter and the phantom erection.
Most disappointing wank of all time.
Yeah.
He'll have to take several anti-rejection drugs for the rest of his life. A couple of them to speed up nerve regeneration and help restore function to the transplant.
And I think you have to take, what is it? It's anti-immune drugs or something?
Because you don't want your body to reject it.
Right. I'm always concerned that I'm going to need hair plugs at some point, so I'm always reading about it, you know?
The cost of this procedure is between $50,000 to $75,000, but the hospitals are paying for this because it's experimental. And worldwide, only two other penis transplants have ever been reported.
Yeah.
Just kind of weird that there'd be others that aren't reported.
Oh, so the hospital pays for it.
Well, in this case, the hospital and the doctors are donating their time.
That's like when I used to get my dental work done at the dental school.
You went to student dentist?
Oh, yeah.
You're a brave man, Harrison.
Oof, it was rough, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm scared of going to a regular dentist.
It's the same amount of pain, just for about three times as long.
Yeah, because it's someone who's done this, who's either just learned how to do the procedure or has done it a couple times.
My body is a roadmap of pain.
So there's only been two penis transplants that have been reported. A failed one in China in 2006. Apparently this guy got it done and then his body rejected it. And a successful one in South Africa 2 years ago in 2014. And this guy, this recipient, actually fathered a child.
Hmm.
So, all right. There you go. This guy, the successful transplant in South Africa, this dude was 21 years old. He lost it due to a botched circumcision. Like they had to amputate his penis because of a botched circumcision. It became gangrene.
Isn't that the premise behind Hedwig and the Angry Inch or something?
I think that was a botched circumcision.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. God, terrible. But a penis transplant can be life-saving. And we were talking about this before we started the show here. Would you want to live?
How can it be life-saving?
Without a dick?
How can it be life-saving?
Because you'd commit suicide. I mean, it's
is
like,
that really the only source you have for it being life-saving? Is that you don't
kill
yourself?
Given the psychological toll,
penis
transplant can be life-saving. And that's what I was saying. It's like, would you want to live if you didn't have a dick? Like, if you lost your dick in a horrible accident.
Ask not for whom the psychological phantom penis tolls for. Yeah, I don't know.
I would be probably the most bitter misanthrope that's ever existed.
I don't know. I've always kind of had the weird kind of, Rimbaud whims and to just let go of the physical and join the ephemeral, you know, and just like, okay. I'm going to read Proust and sit around and take laudanum, you know, or whatever.
Your intellectual aspirations would last about 2 weeks before you realize you can't jerk off anymore. And you try to grab that phantom penis and there's just nothing there. And then you'd become very bitter, even more bitter than you are now.
Or I'd be like, you know, I'd have walls full of paintings that I painted and, you know, I'd have
you're
built
trying
a
to
bookcase.
Sublimate yeah, all I, that sexual energy.
All the stuff, all the time wasted jerking off, no more.
Dude, you would be an arch villain. You'd move to Skull Island. You'd amass an army.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, you'd have to fight James Bond or something.
I mean, I could barely live now, you know? If I was missing things, Jesus Christ, people.
Then there's just no reason. At least you can jack off.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, no matter how horrible your life is, I can still go on to porn, go on the internet, look at some porn, and have a wank.
Yeah.
You know, that's like my last bastion of humanity. It's like, if I want to, I can go at least jack off.
Yeah.
It's like one single source of pleasure I have in my life. And if that's taken away, then what? You have a cat, I guess.
You ever meet these people who are just dead set on cheering you up or solving your problem, and they're like, you're like, oh, I'm depressed, and they're like, oh, come on, it's not that bad. Look at that guy over there; he's got no legs, and now I'm looking at a guy with no legs, and now I'm even more depressed. Thanks, friend. You know.
Well, it's that whole thing of like, at least you're not that guy. You know?
That gives you a whole 2 seconds worth of satisfaction, you know, before you move on with your fucking day.
So for now, the doctor's saying that penis transplants will be limited to cancer and trauma patients and will not be offered to transgendered people.
Okay.
But the trans people always get screwed. Can't go to a bathroom of your choice. Can't get a dick transplant.
I don't even know how that would, you know, at least if you had a penis and lost it, there's the stuff for it to connect to, right?
Yeah, I guess you'd. Well, don't they enlarge, connect it to your clitoris somehow?
I don't know. But it seems like a rush job. I don't know. It seems like a, like clarinet reeds and gum or something. I don't know. Cause you just kind of put it up there. You know,
and just thinking like, oh, okay, it's going to work. But although I think a lot of transgendered people get a penis.
Like when you think you can tape a fucking frame on the wall, you know, you can't. You got to put a nail in there. You got to do it. You know,
you can't just duct tape it to the wall. Yeah. So Mr. Manning had an accident at workplace accident. That's what brought him to the hospital in 2012. Heavy equipment had fallen on him, causing severe injuries. Yeah. So he went in there to get operated on. Doctors treating him saw an abnormal growth on his penis that he had not noticed previously. Turned out it was an aggressive and potentially fatal cancer.
Woo!
So in order to save his life, doctors said they'd have to remove, you know, 75% of his penis in an operation called a partial penectomy, which is probably the worst term you'll ever hear coming out of a doctor's mouth.
Well, it's only partial.
I'd be like, you know what, dude? Just I'll choose cancer.
Yeah.
Let me go get a bunch of hookers, some cocaine.
Though, if that happened, I would be like, take the balls, too. Because maybe that changes your, you know, maybe you're just
because then you won't have the sexual energy.
It'll turn you into Jezzington Bear. And you're just like, I don't care for these shenanigans.
Just be a eunuch.
Yeah.
Just walking around with just like a Ken doll.
Because there is
no genitalia.
There is kind of a part of me that's just kind of disgusted with human filth, you know, just like I want to have sex.
Like in a eugenic sort of way?
No.
I
don't want to cleanse entire ethnicities. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just male, female, the groin region, kind of nasty.
So are you saying that you have, it's disconcerting to think about two genitals smashing together?
No,
repeatedly.
But it's never really that clean, you know? And it's like...
Well, you do eliminate from there. I mean, you eliminate waste from that area.
Yeah. And it's like, what's that thing a bird has where it's like a cloacula or something?
Oh, cloaca.
Cloaca.
And do birds have cloacas?
They do.
I thought that was a fish. I thought birds. Fish had cloacas.
I think fish do, too.
So you're saying... But the thing is with a cloaca, it's like your sexual, your reproduction occurs there along with your waste elimination.
Yeah. No, that is not the case with humans. I don't know why I brought that up.
I was about to say, I don't know who you're fucking.
Unrelated. Big Bird. Hello. And I still don't know what gender Big Bird is. I've never known. And I don't care. And
do you make your sex partners dress up in a Big Bird outfit?
I support his right or her right to be a fucking giant bird. I don't know. Whatever. You know, I'm not on trial here. No, but yeah, I don't know. There's something kind of gross about just human germs and things like that. And when I have sex, I'm compartmentalizing the part of my brain that thinks like that. The Howard Hughes part of my brain. I'm compartmentalizing that because I'm good at compartmentalization.
This is coming from someone who has probably one of the most filthiest apartments I've ever seen.
That's just because you're like... You know.
Yeah, but I'm saying
you're the neatest fucking hetero person. Guy I've ever fucking dealt with.
I'm tidy.
Ever dealt with.
I am tidy. I like things organized. I don't like clutter. But at the same time, it's like, sure, you took a shower today, right? Okay, great. I'll have oral sex with you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fine for me. As long as she's like, okay, I took a shower. It's like, in my mind, okay, that's fine. Like, I'm not sitting there going down like, oh my God, this is a haven of bacteria.
You ask her?
I'm assuming when I see her, it's like she, you know, I'll see her. She smells good. Mm. I'm assuming she probably took a shower.
Yeah.
She's a woman. Women do tend to do that.
I mean, but I'm a man of many contradictions, you know. Jesus was a crossmaker, and as Jesus was a crossmaker, I am also a man that has shot heroin with puddle water. So, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Six in one, half dozen in the other.
So Mr. Manning here was left with a stump about an inch long. That's an angry inch right there.
Yeah.
He had to sit to urinate. Intimacy was out of the picture. He was single and not involved when the cancer was found.
Oof. How old is this guy?
He's 64.
Gah.
After the amputation, though, he said new relationships are unthinkable. I wouldn't go near anybody. And I was thinking about that. Now, that's kind of, that would be slightly awkward. You just had your member amputated.
Right.
And let's say you were dating a girl. You know, obviously, you'd probably bring that up. It's just kind of an awkward thing to say. Like, I mean, would you tell a girl? Like, are you required to tell some, like, disclose that kind of information? Like, if you have a micropenis.
No.
Like, I would just be like, surprise.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really good at oral, or I'm good with my fingers.
No, but it's, if it works, it looks cool. It's Frankenstein, you know?
This is the stump, though. It's the like kids, an inch long.
The kids love Frankenstein, don't they? I don't know. You know?
I'm just saying, it's like, yeah. Is there like some unspoken law that if you have a deformed penis or there's something, you know, aberrant about your genitalia, do you have to disclose that before? Like, I understand if you have some hideous venereal disease, you could be like, yeah, you know, I got a herpes outbreak going on right now. I don't want to, you probably shouldn't go down there. But if you have like a deformed penis, do you have to tell the girl?
Only if it has its own face like Edward Mordrake. And it can speak and utter things. Then, yes, you have to tell them.
Hello.
Yeah.
How are you? That sounds like Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
So Manning was stunned that the whole procedure went so smoothly and happened so quickly. Like, the whole thing, it took like 3 years. But, you know, and there was like, you know, it took three years. He was on a wait list. And as soon as they found a donor with the right blood type and skin tone, which is interesting that they'd actually match a skin tone.
Right.
As if that matters. A couple weeks later, it's like, okay, we're ready to go. And so, yeah, he was stunned that it happened so fast. And
that doesn't sound fast at all. That sounds like three years and several weeks.
3 years of preparation. Yeah.
It only took the operation 12 hours. What's wrong with this guy?
The doctor credits New England Organ Bank, which asked families of some of the dying patients to consider organ donation. Apparently, they don't tend to ask if they can have your penis, though. They assume you're like kidneys, livers, you know, lungs, that kind of thing.
Right.
But when it comes to like intimate parts, they tend not to ask the family about that. Those requests are made separately.
Well, just so you know, my paper on Edward Mordrake penis syndrome will be up for peer review in this month's copy of New England Journal of Medicine. So check that out, guys.
I'll have to take a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be opposed to donating my penis. Why not?
What? Donate it. What's your problem?
No, I'm just saying. It's like they're saying a lot of families are like, no, you can't have his penis. Like, why not? I mean, do you donate your organs?
Yes.
I am an organ donor as well, even though I can't imagine anyone wanting either one of our organs.
No.
But hey, if you want my, Jewish circumcised penis.
I have a part of my beard hair that's just, when it grows out, that's just stained brown from tobacco. Like, permanently.
But you know, at least Manning has his life back here. He says, if I'm lucky, I'll get 75% of what I used to be. Before the surgery, I was 10%. Then it made no promises. That was part of the deal. So he's got a good attitude about it.
I don't know, man. 30, 40 years ago, that guy would be checking out.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He would be an arch villain.
No, you know? I mean, he'd be checking out. He'd be like dead within 10
cancer.
Years.
Yeah, well, probably cancer.
But now, like, people live... These baby boomers, they're going to live for fucking ever, you know?
Well, this made me think...
They live forever!
Well, this made me think about...
They're spry at their age.
About, you know, vanity surgery, cosmetic surgery.
Right.
Do you think after they perfected this procedure, that penis transplants have become, you know, run of the mill, do you think people will be like, yeah, I feel my penis is kind of small, I want to get a larger one? And they'll just, you know, become a vanity procedure. And it's going to cost $50,000, but hey, who cares? I'll get like a 10-inch cock.
I mean, it's very possible. It's also completely insane. Because to elect to have unnecessary surgery that requires...
Breast implants, though.
Anesthesia is insane. On some
yeah,
level.
But I mean, look at all these women getting breast implants or you know, labioplasty.
Right.
Labioplasty. It's a, you know, I mean, which is also kind of absurd.
But, you know, a bird in the hand...
Well, my whole thing is...
A cloaca in the hand is worth I think, a penis on the operating table.
I think the corpse penis is a bit of a deterrent.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you have to, like, graft a corpse's penis onto your body is something that I think would probably give people pause.
I mean, you'd really have to dislike your penis.
To risk getting a new one. But, right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, 20 years from now, when this is just commonplace, it's like, you know, yeah, your penis will be fine. It's just a procedure. It takes about 10 minutes. We just clamp a new one on there.
Look, I like my penis, but I don't know. I've always seen myself in more of a Filipino man's penis.
I would just get a black man's cock. Why not?
That could just go full on Frankenstein, you know?
Although, okay, put it this way. If you're deterred by the corpse penis, what if doctors perfected this procedure where you could grow a penis out of your thigh, out of your own, you know, bodily material? And it takes about a year. You got a dick growing out of your thigh. Then they just chop it off and stick it on. Would you do that?
I would, but I'm also suspicious because I think that's how Spider-Man ended up fighting the lizard.
Oh, yeah. He regenerated, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, these advancements in medical technology are fascinating. I am wondering, and that's the thing. It's like right now we're talking about this. Oh, you know, we're questioning whether or not this will be like a procedure that people will adopt, like this will be commonplace. Guarantee it will be, though. We live in a vain culture, a vain society. Look at the plastic surgery that people do on a regular basis.
Yeah.
If they actually perfect a procedure where you can get a larger dick, I could see many wealthy Americans taking advantage of that.
But what do you think the odds are of, like, we're sorry, sir, you know, like something goes wrong and then you got nothing, you know? That's insane.
Then you're an arch villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's I don't think it's worth a risk. I'd rather have a 4-inch dick.
Jesus Christ.
Who cares?
Get a sports car. Fuck you.
People, this is episode 533 here, Sick and Wrong. We have some great stories coming up next. We also have some phone calls to get to in a bit. Before we get to that, here's a new offer from AdamandEve.com involving a device called a clit bumper.
Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. When you select your one free item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs, plus a free exclusive gift. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And what's that free exclusive gift? It's the clit bumper, the ideal pleasure ring for couples. He'll love the way this love ring lets him stay harder, longer. It increases the strength of orgasm, and she'll love the way the pleasure nubs thrill her sweet spots. The unique bumper stimulates her clitoris, and it's soft and stretchy for a comfortable fit. The clit bumper's made of premium silicone, it's waterproof, and it's compatible with all water-based lubes. Use code DIDDLE at checkout. That's DIDDLE at AdamandEve.com.
A Louisiana lawmaker proposed and withdrew a weight limit for strip club dancers. Yeah, this happened this past week, and the guy caught a lot of flack for it. He was making a joke. I find it kind of funny, but he got some sharp rebukes from his colleagues here. So this happened in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. A lawmaker withdrew an amendment proposing to limit exotic dancers to a maximum of 160 pounds. and suffered some sharp rebukes from his colleagues.
Why do you need a law?
Well, what he was trying to do was poke fun of a over-regulatory law that they were passing about strippers. So in Representative Walt Leager, a Democrat from New Orleans here, brought a bill that would require exotic dancers at strip clubs to be at least 21 years of age. And so he brought this to the House. And so because of this, this Representative Kenneth Harvard here, who's a Republican, surprise, surprise, then proposed an amendment to the bill that would have required strippers to be between the ages of 21 and 28 and shall be no more than 160 pounds in weight.
So this guy is basically you if you went to law school. Like, no. I really have faith that the irony will come through the legal language. I really do.
All I'm saying, I don't think this amendment is that out of line. It's like, would you have qualms about strippers being less than 160 pounds?
Well, first of all, you can't make that a law because it's illegal. And second of all, strip club managers are going to do whatever the fuck they want anyway. So what the fuck?
Well, if it's a law that you can't hire a 20-year-old dancer, well, then they can be...
Can't hire someone over 160 pounds, isn't that?
No, what the law is, and this is the amendment that was being brought to the... The bill that was being brought to the floor, is strippers had to be at least 21. So right now, I mean, strippers here can be 18.
Fine. Sure, yeah.
You know, 19. And so this guy's like, you know, if we're going to regulate that, then why not say strippers have to be between 21 and 28 and weigh less than 160 pounds? Mm.
But how are these 19-year-old girls going to pay for their heroin?
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
Or pay for their baby daddy.
Yeah.
Baby daddy's heroin.
You got to think about the economy.
So after he proposed this amendment, which is amazing that the guy would even propose this amendment. Yeah. I understand that he's joking about it, but at the same time, look who he has to deal with.
He's going to be in for a fright when he opens his Twitter account. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Nancy Landry here, a representative from Lafayette, called it offensive. Julie Stokes, a Republican from Kenner, Louisiana, ended the ensuing chuckling in the chamber by calling the amendment an example of sexism in the male-dominated legislature.
Hmm.
She says, I've got to say, looking out over this body, I've never been more repulsed to be a part of it.
Right.
It's a guy's club. I mean, look at this. That's what think about it. These guys are probably all going to vote for Trump.
Right.
I bet you Trump would pass a law like this.
And this woman who is saying this is probably a swamp witch because it's Louisiana, you know? Isn't everybody a swamp witch there, I think?
Well, I think most women who are state legislators are
or some kind of Cajun alligator human hybrid, you know?
Harvard said that his amendment was meant to be taken as a joke. He says it was a poke at overregulating everything. When are we going to stop? It was aimed at both men and women. I can't strip either. I'm overweight. Nice try to backpedal there. It's a little too late, buddy.
In section 4A, 7B, you can see here that I put the Styx lyrics into the bill. Come on.
The bill, minus the amendment, passed 96-0. So now strippers have to be above the age of 21 in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Which I think that's kind of unfair, actually.
Yeah, I mean, what are the fucking employment prospects in Louisiana right now?
So I'm saying. It's
Swamp
like
Witch.
Or Waffle House.
Waffle House, yeah. Swamp Witch.
That's about it.
Yeah.
That's it. So
Cannibal Woman.
So strippers are going to be leaving en masse, going to Vegas. This next story here came in from Justin. Justin says, I could see D doing this for $1,000.
All right.
So
I can see you doing a lot of things for $1,000.
Yeah, same with me. I don't know about this, though. On the most recent episode of Botched, have you ever heard of the show Botched?
No.
It's a show about surgery that went awry. An American gambler / magician. He's a gambler magician named Brian Zembeck told the following story.
He's a gambler magician?
A gambler / magician.
Oh.
He does a little bit of both. He gambles, does some magic. He makes some money, goes back to gambling.
Whatever,
it's
Donovan.
A vicious cycle.
All right.
Sometime in 1997, he was having dinner with his gambler / sadist friends. So he hangs out with a bunch of sadists.
That's what it says in the article.
Well, I think he's making a joke. But okay. Yeah, gambler / sadist friends in Europe, when one of them bet him $100,000 that he would not get breast implants. He says, I assume they thought that their gambler magician friend was more magician than gambler. But no, it was the other way around. He took him up on the offer. And so, yeah, he actually went to a plastic surgeon who happened to also be a gambler. And, ended up getting breasts.
Hmm.
Breast implants. And he claimed his $100,000. And he still has the breast implants to this day. It's like almost 20 years later.
I say, Reginald, I shall bet thee... 800 pounds, which is my entire dowry of sterling pound, of sterling silver, I will bet that Sir Langstrom over there won't get this penis implant. Like, this is the kind of things people do.
Reminds me of Trading Places.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, like, that's crazy. Nobody does.
We have whiskey.
It's like it's like, you know.
I just can't
Baron
imagine
Munchausen and the fucking Sultan having the wagers, you know?
Well, I think what happened here is they're probably getting drunk, and he's like, you know, I'll bet you $100,000 you wouldn't get breast implants. And then the guy's like, all right, I'll take you up on that. And then they forget about it. A couple years later, the guy actually goes out and does it. Mm. And then you're
How
like...
How old are these men?
You know, it doesn't say.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming they're probably at least like over 40.
I'm assuming they're in their 50s and the white guys with way too much money.
What do you think the guy's wife said? I mean, it makes sense though. Think about it. He's going to get $100,000. How much do breast implants cost? Like $8,000?
Yeah.
So you pay $8,000 and then you get $100,000. Then you get to get him removed. Mm. I mean, it couldn't be that hard to take him out.
Yeah.
Although this guy, you ever see the video of Richard Speck in prison?
Wait, who's Richard Speck?
Richard Speck was that guy in the 60s that murdered all those nurses.
Oh, yeah. No, I've never seen a picture of him.
There's a video, actually, of him in prison where he started going, doing hormone therapy. Mm. And he's like this ugly, tall, you know, goofy-looking white guy, but with breasts. Like, nice breasts, actually. I mean, they're like sizable, probably B or C cups.
Right.
And so all these inmates are like sitting there like snorting cocaine off his tits and like, oh, yeah. And he's just hanging out in like some 80s shorts. I think he actually ended up dying of cancer. Mm. I don't know if it was breast cancer. But anyway, I was thinking the same thing. This guy kind of looks like Richard Speck. He's just got a, you know, like an impressive bust. But would you keep him?
No.
Why not? I'd keep him for at least a week.
So wait, so he got them and then he got them removed right
away?
No,
he didn't remove them. He still has them.
Oh, he still has them.
He got $100,000.
Yeah.
So what?
No, it'd be too weird. You know, because then you get used to them and, you know, it becomes a whole thing.
I wouldn't trust my friends to pay me.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, I remember in high school, there's this restaurant called the Red Lion. And it was like this shitty Coney Dog place in Bay City, Michigan. Mm-hmm. But it had like two entrances. It had an entrance on either side, and it was on the corner of this intersection. And so my friends were like, I dare you to streak that place.
Right.
And we were all kind of drunk, and I was like, okay, how much? And they're going to pay me $80. So I was like, all right, cool, $80, I'll do it. So I got butt naked, and I ran into the restaurant, and I just kind of, I was literally in there maybe 2 seconds. I just kind of ran right through it and ran out. I do remember one guy spitting out a piece of his Coney Island dog and almost actually hit me.
Right.
But anyway, I ran out, and my friends take off. They totally took off.
Yeah, no.
And so I'm like running down the street, and I had to go hide behind a dumpster and get like a pizza box. It was like a very, very like John Hughes moment, actually. But anyway.
You didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't. I was intoxicated. But to pour salt on the wound, they didn't pay me. And what am I going to do?
That's a Welshman. Isn't that where that word comes from?
I got Welsh. I got Welshed on that.
The Welsh don't pay their debts.
But I mean, what am I going to do? Am I going to, like, you know, hire some goons to beat up my friends for $80? That's like this guy. He's like, he makes his bet with his drunken friends for $100,000 to go get a pair of boobs.
You just wait for a good opportunity to steal something of equal value.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think I got them back. I can't remember what I did.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some kind of retribution involved. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't trust my friends to pay me $100,000 for getting boobs. I think they would just laugh their ass off.
Right.
And then not pay me.
Yeah.
And then what am I going to do? Like, take them to small claims court?
And then, like, it's like you go back the next week and you're like, I did it, man. Check it out. I did it. Did what?
I got boobs.
What are you talking about? Yeah, remember we made the wager? No, I don't remember anything.
The thing.
Yeah.
Because you're wasted when you made the wager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, you got to admire this guy's dedication. He's kept them for 20 years.
Fucking white men. Tell you.
What do you have here?
Oh, I got a cannibal woman in my shoes, a cannibal woman in my heart. So the somebody sends this in, who remains unnamed, saying, Harrison should be careful that this doesn't happen at his tranny hooker meth parties.
Ooh, frequent occurrence at Harrison's house.
Sir or ma'am, I assure you that my trans folk meth parties are all above board. Okay? You don't have to worry about no cannibal women eating faces here. So here's what happened. Cannibal woman tried to eat friend's face and bit boyfriend and police officer in drug-fueled rampage.
Yeah, sounds like a typical Thursday night at the Harrison household.
Yeah. So it was a drug-fueled rampage, not a Wheel of Fortune-fueled rampage. In case you were, you know, not a Thai food-fueled rampage.
That can happen.
Yeah. Stay on top of it. So a woman has been arrested for allegedly trying to eat her friend's face after she took a dangerous cocktail of drugs. Lindy Stewart, 37, is thought to have taken a mixture of cocaine and crystal meth before going on a rampage.
What is that called? Like, you know how speedballs, what is cocaine and heroin?
Yeah, and then...
And then ecstasy and cocaine is what, candy flipping?
Yep, and then...
And heroin?
Ecstasy and LSD.
And LSD is candy flipping,
and then heroin and meth is goofballs.
Goofballs. So then what's cocaine and meth? Pointless?
It's
a waste of money?
Rampage.
Rampage. I would call this rampage.
Yeah. So, yeah. She was arrested at her home in, wait for it, Newark.
Whoa, I was about to say Florida.
Yeah. No.
Huh.
No. Well, it's weird because I didn't even know, to be honest, I didn't even know they had meth in New Jersey. There you go.
I was just in Jersey and I saw a lot of people that seemed like they could have been on meth or at least look like they could have been on
meth. It's just not usually in the Northeast because the population is too, there's nowhere to cook it, you know, without people smelling it.
It's too dense. It's too dense. You wouldn't be able to have like a trailer park.
Yeah.
Whereas in Florida, you have swamps.
There's some weird cop. I think he's like a Bergen County cop detective that every comic convention I go to, I see him there dressed up as like a fucking Jedi. And then he comes over to me and starts talking to me about...
He's a cop?
Yeah, he's a cop.
Hmm.
He just likes nerd bullshit. I don't know.
Why does he come talk to you in particular?
I don't know. And I try to just hold my tongue because I don't want to... I'm at a comic convention. I'm tired. There's like Pikachus everywhere. I don't want to deal with this. And he's like, yeah, so now they're giving out Narcan to these junkies. And, you know, anyone, we have to give it to the junkies when they overdose. So now they don't learn. What do you learn by dying? That's how you learn. You overdose and you die. I literally want to fucking slit your throat with your own goddamn lightsaber, but I'm just going to sit here smiling and nodding. Anyway, there's a little
aside there.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he at least buy one of your comics?
A little ray of light into my life. Yes.
Okay, well, let's get that.
Yeah. According to police, Stewart's friend Michael Miracle, I love that name, was found with a bleeding face. The drug-addled woman was being held down by her friend after she started trying to bite his face.
why would you hold her down? I would just lock her in a closet.
I mean, I don't know what you got to get like a net, you know, like a Benny Hill. You know,
like one of those dog catching.
Yeah, one
things.
Of those dog catching, like asylum nets. You know?
Well, it's kind of like, this is like Walking Dead. Like when they try to grab the biters.
Right, yeah.
You know, and just kind of hold them at bay.
Yeah, those neck things, you know.
I would just throw her in the closet and just hold the door shut.
By the way, I forgot to mention, that whoever wrote this article, if it is a person and not, you know, I don't know, and 2/3 of a person that's an Edward Mordrake kind of creature... they said Newark, New York, which isn't a thing. Journalism. Oh, all these people with journalism degrees. My God. Anyway, her boyfriend, Rocky Rouse. Let's just take that in for a second there.
Now that's a porn name.
Rocky Rouse. That's like Rocky and Bullwinkle meets Mickey Mouse meets Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on.
I'm not quite sure where this is going.
Yeah. Anyway. All her boyfriend, Rocky Rouse, also arrived at the house after he found out about Stewart's biting rampage. You know, if I ever have a biting rampage, it's time for me to just throw in the towel, you know? If I get to that point.
What I'm wondering what happened here was his girlfriend hanging out with her friend. They do a bunch of this coke and meth combination here. She turns into a zombie. And then her friend's like, I'm going to call your boyfriend over here to deal with this.
Yeah.
It sounds like the situation. He's just like, oh, man, she's turned into a zombie again, trying to bite your face off.
Yeah.
All right, I'm coming over.
What a drag, man. You know? R-O-C-K-E-Y, R-O-U-S-E. All right, so she then tried to tried to take chunks out of Rouse's chest and armpits.
Wow.
Armpits.
This couldn't be the first time.
Yeah, like get a fucking, you know, put a sack, you know, like a sack, a burlap sack over her head so she can't bite you.
Yeah, or right? something. That's or what like you a ball gag or something.
Yep. Yep. You know, if I'd been there, it would have been fine. He told the Times of Wayne County, while I was holding Lindy, she began biting me in the center of my chest and my armpit, which caused me to experience pain and discomfort. Lindy was yelling that she loved me and she won't let them do this to me. She also said she is taking Alice to the moon and that she would kill. She also kept saying, lol, lol, lol.
I love how this guy remembers the dialogue.
This is like, you don't even have to get me a birthday present, D. This story is enough.
Alice,
you
know? To the moon.
Yeah. Norton! Yeah, so anyway. Stewart was thought... Did I ever tell you about how I used to have a crush on Lindy England?
No.
The woman from the Abu Ghraib scandal of the early aughts.
She was the one... she kind of looked like a lesbian, actually.
Yes.
Why did you have a crush on her?
I don't know.
She was stocky, too.
It was a confusing time.
She knew how to, like, put, you know, Arabic terrorists in, like, a pyramid formation, though.
Right. And point,
tase them.
And point to their genitals with dogs.
With a cattle prod.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. You know, sometimes...
I could see you being into that.
Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need a little get up and go. You need a kingmaker to make you a king. Anyway, Stewart was thought to have taken a dangerous mixture of cocaine and crystal meth before going on a rampage, which I think they already said. Yeah, they did. God damn it!
I'm thinking she's on like Meow Meow or Flocka or something.
I don't know, man. You don't want to mix those two things. Unless you want... I mean, unless you're pre-gaming your rampage.
I just can't... Like, I've done both in spades. And I couldn't imagine, like... I imagine meth would just trump the cocaine. Like, I just think eventually it's like... I'm just going to be up forever because meth is stronger.
Yeah, I mean, I've never gone there. But I imagine it's kind of like bath salts. It's kind of just like...
That's what I think she's on.
A crushing, you know, vacuum of anxiety.
I think she's on bath salts. But
they don't make them anymore, motherfucker.
I'm sure she makes her own.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. Anyway, I can't even do that. I've tried. Stewart also turned on the police officers who were trying to restrain her. But that's like one of those things where it's just like, why did I become a police officer?
You know? Seriously have to deal with this?
Yeah.
You do know if she was black, she would have been shot.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
Like a dog. Hey, I
don't
make
the rules.
It's true,
though. That's what I'm saying. It's like if she was a black lady trying to bite these police officers because she's got a head full of bath salts, they would have just shot her.
Yeah. Excuse me, officer, but I don't think I was Blam! Rouse said, as the policeman was putting the handcuffs on Lindy, she grabbed the policeman and attempted to bite him in his face. So it's like a theme with her.
Yeah.
It's like a thing. The policeman was able... What is it, policeman? Are you a child writing? Are children writing these things now? Is this child labor? Anyway, the policeman was able to fend off Lindy and was finally got her in handcuffs. I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, I'm not
penis
sure where this
or
article
no.
came from.
This is written by a retarded child. All right, anyway, she was arrested and taken to the hospital. Two counts of assault in the third degree. That's...
Wait, so her boyfriend's actually pressing charges?
It doesn't matter. If the cops see you assault someone...
Yeah, yeah, I guess it isn't really...
They can charge you regardless, so...
Have you ever had to be in this situation, this precarious situation, where you have your girlfriend, she's done a bit too many quaaludes or whatever, and you got to deal with it? Like, you got to talk her down.
Yes.
It's got to be one of the worst situations any drug user has to face.
Oh, yeah. Dealing with maniacs, trying to keep them alive, you know?
And I mean, then there's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah.
I don't know what's
trying
worse.
Trying to keep the knives away.
What's worse, dealing with a really, really intoxicated girl who's puking her guts out and having to deal with that, or dealing with a girl that that's like freaking out on mushrooms?
That's a good question, man.
They're both kind of messy.
Yeah, they're both messy situations.
Yeah.
Michael Maracle, Rocky Rouse, Lindy Stewart. Yeah. So one of these days, Alice, bam, pow, to the moon. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's it. Yeah. That's that should be in your next screenplay.
Yep.
All right. The last story we got here is a convoluted one. This is a difficult one to follow, people, so you have to pay attention. It's a complex narrative.
You
lost
me already.
Very labyrinthine. Mm. A reporter has been arrested for pooping on the lawn of a man who put the family dog in a smoker.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
It's happened in Phoenix, Arizona. Jonathan Lowe of Arizona's KPHO was reporting and was already a very strange bit of local news before he actually added to this narrative. So let's get to the first part here. Patrick Zane Thompson, a father of four and a former college football player, admitted to putting his family's dog in a smoker on direct order of God or the devil. He didn't know which
one. Or one of the two.
One of the two
forces
were telling him to put the family dog in a smoker.
I mean, how do you know? It's hard to tell, you know?
Is a smoker like a barbecue? Is it smoked beef? I don't even know what it is. I'm a vegetarian. I don't know these things.
I don't know. I'm from the Northeast. We don't have a big fucking barbecue culture there, you know? It's not the South.
Is a smoker like is it the bottom of the barbecue where the coals are?
That's like when you cook a whole pig, isn't it? Or that's a luau.
I don't know stuff.
I don't know things.
Thompson became upset with a t-shirt that his 17-year-old daughter had been wearing. They don't specify what was on the t-shirt. I'm assuming it was probably a band that he hated. But who knows, you know? Investigators said he believed the shirt had to do with the devil. It's probably a Slayer shirt. Maybe Motley Crue. Shout out the devil. That paperwork says that Thompson made his daughter take the shirt and go with him to a large barbecue traveler that's parked in a side yard. The smoker...
is a barbecue traveler?
I think it's a big barbecue grill.
Oh, okay.
And so the smoker is the bottom portion with the coals. Yeah. The smoker was lit. And
I think that's the name of the guy from Blues Traveler. Barbecue Traveler.
Barbecue Traveler.
That's his name, yeah.
Maybe that's what she was wearing, a Blues Traveler shirt.
Okay.
I would do the same thing. I'd be like, I demand you take that off and we're going to burn it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
The smoker was lit, and police report that Thompson put the shirt in the trailer, burning it. You know, I'd do the same thing for a Dave Matthews shirt.
Yeah.
You know, if you were... Like, let's say, God forbid, you have children, and your child starts wearing, like, a Dave Matthews shirt. Like, would you say, take that off now?
No, like, you have to let your children make their own mistakes.
So you're going to allow your kid to listen to Dave Matthews?
Yeah, you have to allow them to do any stupid thing.
Justin Bieber, you're fine with that?
As long as it's not dangerous. Yeah, because kids, especially, like, you know, when they're fucking 13 or 12 or 11 or whatever, they're going to like stupid shit. It's just a fact, you know?
Yeah, but what if you
I was 14. I was listening to Green Day. You think I'm proud of that? I'm not proud of that.
Yeah, but what if you're just like, you're going to listen to Bauhaus and you're going to like it?
No, you can't do that.
Because what's going to happen to your kid?
You'll create some kind of... We call this...
A Tom York?
We call this the school one effect, named after the high school, the alternative high school I went to. When there's nothing left to rebel against, you just rebel against fucking nothing, you know?
You just rebel for the sake of rebelling.
You like force a child to listen to Bauhaus for their goddamn childhood. They become a young Republican. Then look what you did.
That's true.
It's like absolutely fabulous, you know?
You've created
the daughter
on that show. You've created the paragon of evil.
Yeah, like my twin.
Yep. So anyway, he put the shirt in the trailer. Dave Matthews burnt it right in front of her. But it didn't stop there. It continued. He went back into the house, and he got a bit more erratic. He told his family, in front of his four children, that he needed to make a sacrifice of a male.
Oh, my.
And that's never a good thing to hear from your father.
No, it isn't.
It never is. Especially when you're one of the male children.
Right.
Because you're like, God damn it.
Even the one time it was legitimate, it's still not a fun thing to hear.
No.
You know?
Thompson stated that it either had to be himself, his firstborn six-year-old son, or the family dog, which was a small white poodle weighing about 15 pounds.
That's a no-brainer. I mean...
Yeah, Thompson chose a dog.
Okay.
He broke the dog's neck and strangled it until it could not breathe. He then told officers, this is when he was giving his report here, that the sacrifice was not done, and he had to put the dog in a lake of fire.
Oh, my.
Because, I mean, you can't just choke the dog. You got to burn it. They put the dog in the heating element of the smoker, which was turned on. And when officers inspected the smoker later, it had an open flame, and they found the dog dead inside.
All this over a Smash Mouth t-shirt?
Hey, I mean, it's some bad music. I think I could see myself doing the same thing.
All right.
So when police arrived, they found Thompson outside on the sidewalk in front of the home. He is praying to God. He told police he had been smoking marijuana earlier in the day, and that it gave him a vision that something was bad. Something bad was going to happen to his family, and that the Lord was going to kill him for what he had done.
Hmm.
You know, they never specify what kind of marijuana he was smoking. You know, was it a sativa? Was it an indica?
Yeah.
Was it green crack? Was it Girl Scout cookies?
Was it LDB or whatever the fuck?
Was it schnazzleberry? I want to know so I don't buy it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to, like, you know, kill my cat.
Was it scoodle doodle doo?
Why does weed have such terrible names? Like, that's the thing
so
with
annoying.
Weed. If you want it to be taken seriously, if you want to legitimize the pot industry, then why not just call it something a little more mature?
Right.
Than purple Urkel.
I mean, in my day, we go to the open air drug market and buy heroin, and it would be branded body bags, you know, and that's the way we liked it.
Well, it's named by guys that still have blacklight posters in their homes.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
So he was arrested, is being held on $100,000 bail, but the story did not end there. This is part three. There's three parts to this story.
Jesus, it's like a fucking Shakespeare play.
Yeah, no, this is the third part. This is the final act here.
Hey now, get your sacrifice out of the smoker, rampage.
So it turns out there was a report that one of the reporters who had been on the scene had also been arrested that day and cited for business that one normally doesn't tend to do in public. Public defecation. So a reporter was arrested for public defecation. The reporter that was arrested was none other than Jonathan Lowe of KPHO Arizona, who had been reporting on this very scene.
And this was at the same barbecue?
Right outside.
Jesus.
So when the guy was getting arrested, what happened is Lowe chose to use the front yard of the residence to relieve himself.
Yeah.
An onlooker from across the street called it into the officers. They approached him. He said he had to relieve himself, and they arrested him.
He just took a... okay, he didn't defecate.
He took a dump. Yeah, he took a dump in the front yard.
Oh.
He said he had to do it.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do?
You run in the house. You run in the house, man.
But he can't go in this house. And these
he's a reporter.
He doesn't
even
know.
He's there. You could just be like, I'm a reporter. People don't know. You know?
I mean, this guy had a split-second decision.
Haven't you ever walked into, like, a TGI Fridays or something because you need to use the bathroom? And then they're like, hello, sir. And you're just like,
and you just
go past them? Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm a little more courteous. Like, I'd probably try to come up with some kind of creative lie about why I'm there.
You got to ask forgiveness.
I'm about to order some Oreo Madness, but before that...
Not permission. You know, ask forgiveness.
Yo, this guy, I guess, I mean, it was emergency, you know, and he had to do this. And apparently a neighbor must have seen him squatting in front of the home.
I don't even know. You know, I don't even know, man.
And believe it or not, this is what blows my mind. He's still currently working at the station. Yeah, an unidentified employee said Lowe had a reputation of being a good reporter.
Couldn't he have at least gone in a bush or something, for fuck's sake?
I think he was at, like, the side of the home. I don't think he was right in the middle of the yard. I just think a neighbor just saw him and was just like, oh my God, what's that guy doing?
Jesus Christ.
But he had a reputation of being a good reporter. And while he did leave highly pertinent details out of his report, such as, you know, dropping a deuce there on the front lawn,
right.
The fact that he still managed to file the story after being arrested and booked reveals a dedication to the news.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. Although you gotta admit, now this guy's got a nickname. Yeah, the pooper or whatever.
Right.
I mean, they're going to obviously, like, throughout the news organization, everyone's going to have a nickname for him. I would just go move somewhere else and get a new job.
Right. Well, you know, it didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb.
Who said that?
I believe it was Albert Einstein. Oh, no, it was, I'm sorry, Smash Mouth.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right, yeah. All right. Sounds like that.
Which caused this whole mess, I think.
I think Smash Mouth was the initiation. I think it was the starting point of this whole craziness.
I say,
all
Sir
this
Langstrom,
insanity.
I did it all for the nookie.
If you could go back in time and, I don't know, take Smash Mouth's mother, you know, when she was pregnant with him, roller skating or something, you would have been able to erase all this from ever happening.
I think about that a lot, honestly.
Just going back destroying the source.
And sometimes I think about, like, if I had a time machine, like, I would go back to stop 9/11, but then I'd, like, change my mind and I'd just make sure that Seth MacFarlane got his flight that day, you know? And Mark Wahlberg. I wanted to see that goddamn teddy bear. Fuck that shit.
People, send your stories. SickerOnPodcast@hotmail.com. We have some phone calls coming up. Remember, there's a new SickerOn hotline number, 323-522-4032. Woo. Before we get to that, here's another word from our sponsor.
Hey, kids, do you like sex toys?
Yeah!
Then go to AdamandEve.com and make a purchase using coupon code DIDDLE. You'll get 50% off your first item, 3 free adult DVDs, free shipping, and a gift so sensual I can't even mention it on this podcast about murder and bukkake. Support Sick and Wrong by supporting our sponsor, AdamandEve.com, and making a purchase with coupon code DIDDLE. That's DIDDLE, D-I-D-D-L-E, like your uncle used to do to you.
So we got some phone calls to get to. 323-522-4032 is the number of the new hotline.
Phone calls.
Sick or wrong phone calls. Let's play the first one here.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is the Top Rung guy again. I gave you guys a lecture on the meaning of the word Top Rung a few weeks back.
Remember this? You had the definition of cabrone.
Oh, right, wrong. Yeah.
And so learned us.
Is this a person speaking, or is this an electricity being that it's existing somehow, like in some
kind of
Tesla.
Astral plane or something?
Yeah, because that's what it sounds like. Doesn't sound like a human. It sounds like somebody in the phone line.
So, I don't really have a shit story. This is a cum story. So,
well, you know, we got to keep it cerebral sometimes, so here we go.
Oh, we have a shit story coming up.
I'm jerking off the other day, and I hadn't jerked off for like a week. And as I'm getting ready to finish, I know that it's going to be crazy because I haven't jerked off in a while. So I look down to make sure that it's not getting all over the place. And what happens? I come right in my own fucking mouth.
Ah, amateur mistake.
Probably the grossest thing that has ever happened to me in my life.
And what did it taste like?
That's all.
And what did it taste?
Keep it wrong.
God damn it.
You know, I don't even understand how that's possible. Like, he was like looking down at his dick while he's masturbating. Like, how does that even work? You're not staring at your dick. Don't you have like a towel or something you're jacking off into? This guy's jacking off completely vertically.
He wanted to make sure he had an angle, and apparently he didn't.
This was intentional is what I'm getting at. I think this was intentional. I don't think this is like, oh no, I made a big mistake. Oopsie. Yeah.
Well,
oopsie,
I mean,
come in my mouth.
In theory, it always sounds like a good idea to be like, I wonder what it tastes like. I'm going to taste it one of these days. But then once you're actually doing it, you're like, I don't want it. You know?
Have you done like a shot of your own cum? Like in a shot glass?
In a shot glass? Or, okay. Used it IV, intravenously? No, I've done neither.
But that's the thing. When I jerk off, it's like I know there's going to be some semen being expelled out of my penis, so I have like a towel or something I'm going to jack off into. I'm not just shooting it randomly all over my face. This reminds me of a caller that we had who said that he accidentally got some on his cat. Accidentally got some on it. How many times have you ever got your own semen, your own ball milk on your cat?
None, but I switch to the, once you go fleshlight, you never really go back, so.
But you use a fleshlight?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
How long have you been using a fleshlight?
Like, since I moved here.
But you went out and bought one?
I bought it on the internet.
Was it? I mean, do you clean it? Do you put it in like a sink?
I do. I probably need to buy a new one. Let's just say. There's like.
I think why use a fleshlight versus your own hand?
There's a little Edward Mordrake in there. Because it's a vagina. Because it's like a fake vagina. You know, it's great.
It doesn't feel like a vagina. That, well, I guess I've never used one. No, so I don't really know.
It's literally the mold of someone's vagina, and it's a.
Wait,
it's a flesh-like substance.
But you know? Do you buy like a vagina of a particular porn star?
I just got whatever one was on sale. It's like Jenna Edgerton. It's somebody I don't know who it is. It's like, yeah, this one's modeled after Jenna Edgerton or somebody, you know, whoever.
Okay, so when your sister was in town, did you hide it or is it just sitting there on your desk?
I hide everything, man.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure because I don't even know what I would say if a girl
everything
came in here.
Everything goes in the suitcase and the suitcase is locked.
Okay, so after you take your bag of tricks, you just kind of hide it in the vault.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Wow. Does your fleshlight have a name or is it just fleshlight?
It's just fleshlight. You don't name it.
You know? No, is there a brand name? Is there like a particular brand?
It might be a fleshlight.
Like
it
the
might
Terminator
be a,
or something.
Well, fleshlight is a brand name.
Okay, so it's the official fleshlight.
I think it is, yeah. And it's right. It's like a weird flesh colored, the outside of it, which is kind of weird.
Does it have like pubic hair on it?
No.
All right, here's an idea. Yeah. When you need to get a new fleshlight, why don't you go to adamandeve.com, use the coupon code DIDDLE.
That's a good, yeah.
Get a clip bumper.
I will do that.
You could use a clip bumper to pleasure your fleshlight while you're fucking it.
I mean, I'm probably not far off from that dark road, you know?
All right, final question here about the fleshlight.
Yeah.
So you blow your load in it, right?
What is this? Why is this so outrageous to you?
I just find it really funny because I've never met a single guy that has one.
Yeah. I mean, why use your hand? It's not, you know, it's not ideal.
I guess not. I mean, people in prison use fifi towels. It's the same thing.
Right.
So wait, when you blow your load though, do you blow your load in it and then you have to dump it out?
Yeah, then you have to dump it out.
Oh. Well, I guess.
But it's like sometimes you get lazy. And then you don't, and you just put it like back up. And then next time you want to masturbate, you're like, oh shit, man, I got to deal with, you know,
you got like 2 week old cum just sitting in there. All like gelatinous.
Yeah.
God, that's disgusting. Well, there you go. Mm. I mean, dude, get a fleshlight.
It's like
so you
formed
don't...
into a homunculus or something in there, you know,
get a fleshlight. So, you don't quote unquote accidentally jerk off in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, what do you have for the second one?
And please spay or neuter your homunculus. This is from...
Your golem.
This is from... golem. Herbie, the cat man. Remember that weird guy? It was like, my cat Herbie, I was twacked out on...
Oh, that sounds familiar. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Jesus.
It's D. Michael here, man.
D. Michael.
D. Michael, that's his name. Okay, I didn't actually know
D.
what
Michael.
His name was.
Weird ass voice. So, this one time, man, I was living out in Citrus Heights or whatever. There's a bunch of.
Weren't you saying that if this guy lived locally in L.A., you would pay to get like a one man show, a one act play?
Yeah, I would finance a one man show where he just like tells stories, you know. And
I would you play
maybe
banjo?
maybe a couple costume changes.
Would you play banjo to accompany it?
Of course, I would.
God, that would be an amazing show.
Because I love his delivery, you know. Because it's kind of like he's like I don't know. It's like he's telling a story on Hee Haw or something, you know.
I kind of think he sounds like a rebellious like young Bob Dylan or something. Yeah. You know, man, I was sitting there, man.
Yeah.
Friends and shit, and this one guy comes over. I don't really remember his name. Weird ass motherfucker. But he's been, like, I guess at the point of this time when he came up.
That man was Donovan.
Oh, he's been up for about a month, month and a half. $12 motherfucking mind, right? So we had this little porcelain duck thing that we used for an ashtray. Walks up to this motherfucking duck and just starts looking at him like...
God, you know, I'm trying to listen to the story, but I'm also just imagining him on a stage with like a fake street, you know, background. Man, this cat comes up to me, twacked out. Man.
I could almost hear it with like a, you know, not even a banjo, like an upright bass. Like... Mm. Doom, 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 And he's just like, man, one time, don't be a square.
Yeah.
But so what's going on here is he's hanging out with his friends.
Yeah.
They use a porcelain duck as an ashtray.
Sure.
And this homeless guy walks up to them and is about to steal the duck. I'm not quite sure what happens here.
Right.
And he starts fucking talking to it. It's like, shut up. He's just sitting there like, dude, Mr. Crackers, man, you're so fucking inspirational. And like, he comes over to us, man, and he's like, dude, that duck is a man. It's Mr. Crackers, man. He's fucking smart. You should listen to him. And he fucking walks off. Man, tell me that I'm not the only one that this happened to, man. It's like, fucking tweakers, bro.
Jesus Christ.
That was a perfect narrative.
I mean, what the... I mean...
No, that was great. I mean, I could totally see that. Yeah. Let's like, give a nice round of applause.
Bravissimo!
There. Yeah, no, that's... Yeah. That, you know, I could see this guy delivering, like, I don't know, 10 vignettes.
Yeah.
You know, with an upright bass. Harrison playing upright bass in the background. You know, he's got to be smoking a cigarette.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Whole time. So, this guy was calling the duck Mr. Crackers.
Yeah.
So he had a crazy homeless guy approach him and start yelling at the porcelain duck.
Yes.
You know, that's not out of the ordinary.
No.
Homeless people love to yell at inanimate objects.
And me.
You know, I mean, this is quite common. I can see Harrison being a magnet for crazy homeless people.
I am. That's why I didn't move. When I first moved here, I was going to move downtown. But I was like, if I just stand on this sidewalk for 2 hours... Somebody be like, kill the Archangel Gabriel and stab me through the heart.
Pied Piper of the Dispossessed.
Yeah.
That's what would happen there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with that. You're not alone there, though. You know, I've had many altercations with homeless people. In fact, yesterday I was with a lady friend of mine, and I parked right behind her, and I was about to leave, and there's this homeless guy just sitting down right behind us. He was just sitting there, and he was yelling something about God. I don't know what it was. Had no shoes on. And I was just like,
what if God were one of us?
I'm like,
just a slob like one of us, man.
I'm like, what am I going to do here?
Yeah.
So I had to go out, and I was like, hey, excuse me. Can you go do that there, like over there, across the street? And the guy just kind of was looking at me, kept ranting. I was like, no. You got to go. I got to get car out. And believe it or not, he actually moved.
Hmm.
He moved across the street, sat down, and is just ranting. So that's what I'm saying. Like, what this guy should have done is taken that duck and threw it across the street. Let the homeless guy go yell at it over there.
You have to. I mean, I'm surprised that worked. I could pull off a maneuver like that. Because I can speak many languages, but...
Do you just go and start speaking like a carny to him?
Pretty much.
No, ring toss.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I do love that guy.
Yeah.
D. Michael, you need to do a spoken word performance.
Yeah, totally, man.
One act play, D. Michael.
Yeah.
All right, what's the last one here?
All right.
Hey, Dean Harrison. Just lying in bed with my fiance and just reminded me of a funny story my mate told me of the first time he and his girlfriend, who he's been with for about, I don't know, about 12, 13 years, first time they ever slept together. They've been going out for a while, first time they ever slept together, and they went out for dinner, went back to her house, and he was, they were in bed, they'd, you know, slept together. And then in the middle of the night, he sort of opens his eyes like that, and he just feels a bit of a rumble and then just fucking shits the bed completely. And then he was just lying there for a few minutes just thinking, oh, fuck, what am I going to do? And so he basically starts rocking his girlfriend, and he just goes, Joelle, I've shit the bed.
Well,
see, he doesn't have your crafty Jew brain.
You know? No, he didn't actually.
Yeah,
You know, and people who have read my book, Play Something Dancy, will be familiar with that story.
Yeah.
But so this guy, how long have they been dating?
I believe that's the chapter called A Justification for Pogroms.
This guy had been dating this girl. This is the first time he had ever actually had sex with her.
Usually that's a deal breaker.
You know what? He should have done what I did, but I'll tell you what I did afterwards.
And, basically woke her up. And then they spent about the next hour or so cleaning up the bed. And, they're still together. 12.
Who's this guy, Willy Wonka? How do you turn that situation around?
I don't even understand how that could even happen. Even if most girls, even if Brad Pitt shit the bed, they're still going to be like, ugh. They won't be able to get it out of their mind.
Right.
I mean, have you ever like accidentally farted around a girl and then they'd bring it up every now and then?
Well, when you're in a relationship for a long time.
No, but I'm saying the beginning of the relationship. I remember one time, I think it was the first time we had sex. You know, like you're moving around in weird positions, you know, you usually have sex after you eat, and I ripped the fart. This girl brought it up almost every time. She goes, remember the first time we had sex, you farted? It's like if you shit the bed the first time you had sex, that's never going to be erased. That memory of that moment. I can't even believe
I could turn anything into entertainment, you know?
All right, well, let's see what this guy did here.
I mean, even my misery, at the very least, it's fucking entertaining to other people.
13 years down the line, so obviously wasn't that bad. Anyway, I thought I'd share that story with you because I've been trying to get my mate. He's got so many funny stories, and it was he who introduced me to Sick and Wrong, but he's so fucking busy, he's never got any time to do it, so I end up telling some of his stories on his behalf. But anyway, keep up with good work, lads. I'll speak to you later. Cheers.
All right.
Yeah, I got to say, though, if you did shit the bed the first time you had sex with this girl and she actually cleaned it up and she's still willing to entertain you, even though you've done this, you probably should marry a girl like that.
Yes.
Because that's a girl that's probably not going to cheat on you.
Right.
She'll probably be devoted for the rest of her life.
Good sense of humor.
Yeah. You know. What I did in this situation, my crafty Jew brain, this was years ago. I actually ended up... It's in a story in my book called Cashmere. Long story short, I ended up hooking up with this stripper that I worked with. And we had done a lot of cocaine. And I had been having intestinal distress earlier that day and that night. And I ended up shitting her bed. It was a lot of shit. It was diarrhea. It was like all over her bed. And so I panicked. I had the same thing. I had panicked, didn't know what to do. And it was like, I don't know, it was almost like an epiphany. Like, just all of a sudden was like, I know what I need to do. And I got out of bed very skillfully, very quietly, cleaned up in the bathroom. And then what I did is I took the girl and I positioned her over the feces.
Yes.
And I scooped it up and I put it like on her thighs. And she was passed out. Like, she didn't even, because I got up at like 6 a.m. And then I took off. I left. And so she thought she had done it. And I never said anything about it. I never brought it up. She never spoke to me again. But no one ever found out that I had shit her bed. So that's what I'm saying, people. If you shit a girl's bed accidentally, just put the shit on the girl. That's what you need to do. It's the best. That's the best advice I can give you in my 41 years of existence.
You're a monster.
You know that girl still thinks about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 But hey.
Therapy.
You know,
yeah.
Crafty. People call the Sick and Wrong Hotline, 323-522-4032. We do have one email we got, sickandwrongpodcast@hotmail.com. This came in from Brolga in Australia. He says, Brolga here. I'm the Fosters in Australia. Good show, fellas. I do need to ask one question of you, Harrison. By the way, I think you're way better than Lance. Why have you not just shot yourself already? Does that make any sense?
But, I mean, that's not really a question. It's partially a question.
You can only drag your self-pity on for so long, and then you'll need to act. As an outsider, I reckon you should just have a Foster's and harden the fuck up. I don't know any porn stars, and I can assure you in married life, my feathers are few and far between. The show wouldn't be as good, though, if you were a normal fuck. So don't kill yourself. I tried to ring, but I'm pissed and I couldn't work it out. Brolga, Australia.
There is an inverse relationship between, or a correlating relationship between my depression and my humor. As my depression goes up and gets worse...
The funnier you become.
Yeah, I tend to get funnier. It's like a thing.
You know, I agree. It's like I like your mental issues. Yeah. I think it brings something to the show.
Does everyone... I feel like I'm from a parallel earth now. Every man's name in Australia begins with bro, right? That's
I think
Brolga.
Yeah, Brolga. Broheim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bratwurst.
Brolliver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And they all drink Foster's.
Yes.
I like how this guy drank so many Foster's, he forgot how to, or not even forgot, couldn't figure out how to use a phone.
Well, let me try to answer your question. First of all, I don't think I'd use a gun, because I don't own a gun. And arguably, I may not even be allowed to buy a gun, because of my
I could imagine
particular
anyone, I
could
imagine you
history.
Passing the evaluation. However, they look at James Holmes.
Well, I have a stuff. I don't know. My things are expunged. Who knows? Anyway, so as I get older, it seems like more and more of a possibility. Like, you know, well, you know, you're this age and you're not supporting a child and you're past the point of getting a girlfriend. Like, you're just too much of a mess to get a girlfriend at this point. And you have a job you don't like. And it's like, what's the point?
Well, at least you have a penis.
I do have a penis, but you get to the point where it's like, what am I doing and why and what is the point?
You question your own mortality, your own existence.
You're getting, because it's like, how long are you supposed to live, man?
Picture you doing
I'd
just an
like,
overdose.
I'd be like an old man if it were the Middle Ages.
You ODing. I picture an overdose.
Honestly, if I were going to OD, I probably would have fucking done it by now. You know, done it by now. It just doesn't. I don't die.
How would you snuff it then? If you had to choose a way.
Well, the problem with overdosing is everyone I knew who was a junkie who killed themselves hung themselves. They didn't overdose because you're like, I'm going to kill myself with my beloved love heroin. But then you just end up just doing heroin for a week, and you know, it's like, wait a minute, I could die or I could just feel awesome for a week.
Yeah, but why not take like 12 OxyContin and drink like a fifth of Jack Daniels?
12 OxyContin is like a fucking Advil to me, dude. All right.
Okay. 60 OxyContin and drink like a fifth of Jack Daniels.
You could do that. If you know, some people might be afraid that is not a manly method of suicide. If one cared about such things,
is there male bravado that comes into play here? When you're killing yourself,
there is actually. Yeah,
must be like Hemingway.
Yeah, no, there's like a
blew his head
that
off.
That is
right?
A feminine way of he blew his head off in the hallway so that his wife would have to step over his headless fucking body to get out of the house.
Ooh, that's revenge.
You know, that's. That's how you do it. That's how you take
that.
The time.
That is how you do it. Go out like Hemingway.
Sometimes I think like I'd like to go on a cruise, and then just like fall off the boat, and then because then there's no like body to find for people. You don't have your loved ones finding your body and stuff.
I guess, but then you're gonna drown. Like, why not jump off like the Golden Gate Bridge?
You take a bunch of drugs first.
Oh, and then just like
people see you jump up, you know, they're like, I don't know, he was on the boat and we were on the booze cruise and whatever, you know.
Would you go with your wife?
And there was a gambler magician performing. What?
Would you go with your wife?
I don't have a wife.
No, but I'm just saying, like, would you go with your family or would you just go on this cruise by yourself?
If I had a wife, I probably wouldn't, you know, we'd be having a whole different conversation. I don't know, because I don't go on cruises, except I almost went on the Juggalo cruise once, but I couldn't get tickets.
God, I wish like the whole cruise of the Juggalo cruise, like the entire boat would just commit suicide.
Yeah, I mean, boats, I don't know. I haven't been on a boat since I worked on a fucking clam cohogging boat, you know?
Well, thank you, Brolga. Don't give Harrison any other good ideas here, okay? Because we need him on the show. It wouldn't be as amusing if he was normal. Could you imagine?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
What would I talk about? I don't know. What did normal people talk about?
Well, they definitely don't talk about feathers.
Yeah. That's they're like, sure. Oh, have you seen the latest episode of Entourage? I will email you about it using Microsoft Entourage. Isn't that funny?
That is funny.
Some people say that I should be a comedian. You know, like that's what I would be. That's what it would be like.
Well, then that's why you need to kill yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, the world does not need another stand-up comedian.
Right.
People email the show, cigarronpodcast@hotmail.com. iTunes, best way to listen to the show. You subscribe, rate, comment. It does really help us out. We did get some good comments this week, actually. And I forgot. I always forget to print them out. You know, one of these days during show prep, I'll have you go to the iTunes page, and then you can actually read some of these witty comments that we get. But we do
show
appreciate
prep.
It.
You make it sound like we're fucking surgeons or something.
Also, T-shirts. That's the best way to support the show. If you want to support the show, buy a T-shirt. Wear it around. Let people know that you listen to podcasts.
Yes.
It's almost worse than not having a penis. Like, I'd almost rather not have a penis than have people know that I listen to podcasts all the time. But hey, who knows?
And if you can't get a T-shirt, try going on a screwball rampage. Because a screwball is now what I'm calling the cocaine crystal meth mix.
Screwball, that's a good thing. Yeah, I like that.
Screwball rampage. Let's do
it. How about this? Screwball rampage, and then buy a Sick and Wrong shirt. So get a Sick and Wrong shirt, then go on a screwball rampage, then bite off the face of your life partner, and then get in the news and spread the word about the show. That is some guerrilla advertising.
That's some get up and go right there.
Yeah. SickandWrongPodcast.com/store. Get yourself a T-shirt while they last. Sick and Wrong Song of the Week. We've had another rock death. Another celebrity rocker death.
Oh, shit. I haven't even kept track.
It's hard to keep track because there's one every week. And it's never the rockers you want to die. Like, we've named several rockers today on
Will you just tell me
show.
Who died? I'm getting upset
now. I'm just
now.
Telling you. I'm building it up here. You know, any of the guys from Smash Mouth could have died. And we'd be like, all right, that's okay.
Yeah.
Dave Matthews wouldn't be upset at all. Robert Durst, or Fred Durst. He died. Would you care?
No, but to be honest, I don't care when people I like die that much, because usually they haven't done anything worth listening to in 30 years anyway, so...
Well, how about the drummer from Megadeth?
Is that the guy that fucking died? Is that the guy that died, really?
Nick Menza, yeah. He's a former Megadeth drummer who performed with a thrash metal outfit's classic lineup for almost a decade. He died yesterday night, after collapsing on stage during a show at the Baked Potato in Studio City. Have you ever been to that place?
No.
It's like a jazz bar, but it's really cheesy. I've been there once, and I've seen, like, I forget who I saw there. It was a friend of mine's jazz band. I was there with a high school friend of mine, from high school. She was in town, and she wanted to go have a drink and see her friend perform, and it was terrible. I also hate jazz. But anyway, this place is called the Baked Potato, and apparently Nick Menza was in a band called Ohm, O-H-M, which is kind of like this, I don't know, metal fusion jazz band.
Okay.
And so while he was playing, he collapsed during the third song into the set, which... probably is a good thing because people don't have to listen to the rest of it. But he suffered a massive heart attack. Was pronounced dead upon arrival.
God damn.
At the hospital, yeah. So anyway, I feel like we should play a Megadeth song.
And that's going to be an awful funeral because you know Dave Mustaine's going to speak and he's just going to... It's going to be nothing about the guy. It's just going to be weird anti-government fucking libertarian rhetoric is his eulogy. You know?
And he's going to go... I mean, isn't he like a crazy Christian now?
And
he's like
born
again.
What's that?
Isn't he like born again now?
Yeah. But I mean, even when back in the day, he still had to, you know, an album cover with the UN being bombed.
Well,
because the UN is such a fucking threat to everyone.
Which is the primary reason why we're going to end the show with Peace Sells, which it's his rant about the about dispelling the stereotypes about the band and heavy metal fans in general. Because back then they thought that metal fans were lazy and anti-government, anti-religion, which Mustaine says is all untrue. So the song we're going to end the show here is Peace Sells, which is from Megadeth's second album called Peace Sells, Who's Buying? Were you ever a Megadeth fan?
No.
I used to like him back in the day. Mm. I kind of hate Dave Mustaine, though.
I mean, he's such a horrific human being that he got kicked out of a band full of the worst people ever to grace the face of the earth.
I got to say, at the time when they kicked him out, Metallica was actually kind of cool. Like, there were a few albums and Metallica was actually kind of cool. And then they became the worst band ever.
When was this? 1982?
Oh, dude, they were cool? And Justice for All fine album.
Hey.
Ride the Lightning. Record.
Yeah, but those are great records. They're still horrible people.
All right. I think success changed them. It was the Black Album that changed them.
I maintain any amount of success they met, it immediately changed them into the horrible people you see today.
Okay, changed Hammett and what's his name, the lead singer guy, I forget his name right now, but Lars Ulrich was always a terrible person. James Hetfield and Hammett got a little lame after the Black Album came out,
a little lame,
but Jesus. Lars Ulrich was always just the devil.
I mean, I can hate James Hetfield and like And Justice for All and still get his penis, you know, transplanted onto mine if need be. It's fine.
Whose penis would you rather have? Dave Mustaine's or James Hetfield's?
I'm going to go with Hetfield.
Yeah.
Dave Mustaine's penis, like, it's so angry. It's going to just be so angry.
I bet you Hetfield has a bigger dick anyway. Who knows?
I don't want to. Let's not go there.
We're going to end the show here with Peace Sells. Rest in peace, Nick Menza, former Megadeth drummer. Horrible way to go. Although, you got to say, if you're going to die doing something you love, it's better than like autoerotically asphyxiating yourself.
It's also going to suck when your last name is the same as an organization that would never allow you in it.
Yeah, but he has a Z in it.
Oh,
not an S.
You ruined my... Okay, whatever.
Anyway, people will be back next week with episode 534. Until then, take it, Susie.
I can't get to work. listen to Think Along.